anybody else, but this kind of gave me a sense of that, because there was an incident on there where they're on the radio and they're in the middle of a battle, and the guy's calling and he's getting messages back, and he can't hear what they're saying, so it's coming in pieces. When I got this message, I got it almost backwards. It was almost like God was giving me the, I'm like, hey, God, I want, give me the rest of that. And he's like, all right, here's that part. And it comes in, and I'm writing it down. And then later on, he's like telling me another part. I'm like, that should have went to the front. And this should have went to the back. And this should have went to the middle. And I just realized what God was doing. He was saying, you're in the midst of a battle. Your country, your world, men, women, we're in the middle of a battle. And that's how this message is coming in. It's coming in like it is on a radio in the middle of a battlefield. I wish somebody had told me this message, preached this message, or explained it to me when I'd first started in being a believer in Jesus Christ, and definitely in ministry. I wish somebody had said, hey, Kevin, listen to this. So if you're young in the faith, listen to this. If you're middle of the road of faith, listen to this. And if you're somewhere down the road and you've been in faith for a while, you need to listen to this. Because it's going to help you. This is a, I'm telling you, when God gave it to me, I'm sitting there going, man, who needs this? And he gave me a list of who needed it. I'm going to give you three laundry lists today, hopefully. We're going to be in Psalm 51, so turn your Bibles over there. Before we get there, he gave me this list. I'm going to give it to you. You watch me, watch this. This is the back of the paper, the back of my notes. And don't try to read my notes. They're in hieroglyphics, also known as chicken scratch. I preached a message one time over in Summer City. This girl said, hey, could I have your notes after you get through that? I want to take that message home with me. I said, it won't do you no good to get those notes. She goes, why? I said, are they special to you? I said, no, you couldn't read them anyway. My handwriting's awful. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm giving y'all time to find Psalm 51. All right, here's the list. Who this applies to? Who does this message apply to? God told me the first one, saved people. Not lost people, saved people, okay? It'll apply to lost people in a certain way, but mostly to saved people. So if you're saved this morning, you're sitting here born again, blood bought, heaven bound, on your way to heaven, this message applies to you, amen? The next word was anointed. Some of y'all in here, you're anointed. You know you've got a calling on your life. You've got an office in the church or in the ministry of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're anointed. That means God's got something on you, amen? He's put something on you. You know what? Let me tell you this. You need this message especially because the devil has you on a hit list. He's got you on a list. If you lead the youth here, if you're a councilman here, if you lead worship here, if you're a preacher here, if you're somebody in your family, let me tell you this. If you're a mother or a father here, grandfather, grandmother here, knowing something down here, you know I got to do something for God. Guess what? You need this message. This applies to you. The devil, he gets up every day you get up, he goes, she's getting it. She's getting everything I got. He's getting it, everything I got. He's against you. Amen? I want you to know that. Fierce. I don't care how fierce you are. So we like to say it in the house of God. We like to say it in ministry terms. Oh, he's a warrior. She's a warrior, amen? Now, I've got different definitions of that, but I'll just tell you this. If you're a warrior, if you're fierce, if God uses you in battle, prayer battle, leadership battle, dealing with people battle, guess what? This message applies to you. You better hear what you say, because some of you in here, you're fearless and you're fierce. This applies to you. This message will be for you. If you're a leader, if you've got a title over your name, this applies to you. Amen? Lover of God. Do you love God? I mean, do you love Him? I mean, do you think about Him? Amen? And I wrote this last one, pure of heart. Even if you're pure of heart. You know Psalm 51 was wrote by David in the worst time of his life. He had a heart that was after God. What that meant, don't think old David's heart and God's heart was the same. His heart pursued after God. He never had another God. Made plenty of mistakes, but never went, you know what, I made a mistake. I need to turn and look for some other way to worship, some other person to look to for answers. You know what? He would turn away from God, but he never turned to another God. Amen? And when his mistakes were brought before him, he would always turn to God and say, "It's you." Amen? So even the pure, I know there's some in here, you got a pure heart. Amen? "Oh, I've got a good heart." Listen, I'm telling you, this applies to you too. The devil don't mind to deal with pure-hearted people. He don't mind people that love God. Matter of fact, he don't mind attacking people who read their Bible, pray, attend church, and serve God. He don't mind. He don't mind. Matter of fact, you're number one on the top of the list. He would love to nail you. That way all the people you're over, all the people you teach, all the people who say, "That's a Christian," all the people who says, "Man, that's somebody," praise God, then what are they going to do? They're going to sit there and go, "Man, if he'll fall, if she'll fall, what am I going to do?" Amen? What am I going to do? You shouldn't look at it that way, but I hate to say it, it happens, don't it? It happens. When does this apply? We found out who it applies to. When does it apply? Y'all, hey, y'all just do me a favor. Y'all, I'll tell you, this message is coming out a little bit different than I planned. Would y'all do something? Do me a favor, just, you know, like, you know, one of these visual things for me. Would you just reach over and just kind of grab your seatbelt and just kind of put it and lock it in real quick? Now you want to let, okay, just do it mentally. Y'all are so fun. Just take your seatbelt, just lock it in, okay, because I don't want none of you to leave. Now, if God starts pulling you up here at the altar, unbuckle and come up here, okay? But if you feel like you want to get out, just stay strapped in. Whew. Y'all are a tough crowd this morning. Amen? But I'm gonna give it to you. When does this apply? Did you do something you know is wrong, or you keep doing something that is wrong? Have you done something that is wrong, sin, or are you doing something that is wrong? Not something that the church says is wrong. Not something that mom and daddy says is wrong. Not something, I'm talking about something that you know is wrong. And you did it anyway. This applies to you. David was a good man. Good, godly man. There were things God done with him that were so amazing. But you know what? There was one day when he took a day off from doing the right thing and he done a wrong thing. Not a wrong thing because everybody thought it was wrong. A wrong thing because when you knew to do it, you were like, "I know this is wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway." This applies to you. This is the time that it applies. We found the person it applies to, but when does it apply? When you are, listen, I would love to tell you this morning, this ain't going to happen in our church, but it's happening in our church. Amen? When you're in the middle of doing something wrong or you've done something wrong and you know it. And that it's right there and it's right here. Amen? When else is it time? It's cost, wait a minute, listen. As it has cost other people discomfort, hurt, or loss. You know, not you. It has cost other people discomfort. It's made them uncomfortable for you. Golly. Your sin, your mistake, the thing you've done wrong, the thing you are doing wrong, has put other people in discomfort. Because they're trying to figure out how to make what you're doing look right. I'll let it sink in. It's causing them loss. They're losing sleep. They're losing peace. They're losing everything. Amen? Then God told me to put a 2.5 on that. He says, "Have you tried to cover it up with lies, etc.?" The list was too long for me to write it all out. But what we do is we do something wrong and it's starting to cost other people. And you know what? The only way we can deal with it is we got to cover it up and lie about it and make it seem like it's less than what it is. Have you done some stuff like that? Have you found yourself doing some stuff and explaining some stuff that you thought, "Man, I would never do that"? Have you began to do things you never would have done? Whew. Doing things that I never would have done. We know the story of David. He had a guy killed. I guarantee you, he didn't start out ministry going, "You know what? I can't wait to kill somebody else's husband." Amen? I can't believe that I get some other people killed trying to kill him. He put him in the hottest part of the battle. Put him in the hottest part of the battle and drew back from him. Not only did Uriah die, some other people died. He lied. He tried to bribe him. He sent a letter. This was so cold that he wrote the letter to put him in the battle, sealed it with the king's seal, and sent it with Uriah. You ain't so cold. David ain't so cold. I could see him also looking from the top of the king's palace, watching him walk down the trail going, "My gosh, I cannot believe I'm doing this. I cannot believe I wrote a letter and sent it by his own hand. I am not this cold." Amen. I know. Listen, I just pushed that over to David, and I did that by mistake. I did it by mistake. I'm sorry. Because you know what we do? If we get into a Bible character, a lot of times we just take it off of us. Sin has been able to do some things to me. I have done things that I thought, man, I'd never do. Said some things I never thought I would say. Acted a certain way that I never thought I would act. As a believer, not a lost person. I ain't talking to you about when I was lost. I'm talking about since I've been saved. Since I've been preaching. Since I've been following God. Because you know what? It applies. And it applies now. That's when it applies. We in the church, a lot of times, we talk about stuff like, "Oh, it happened well before, oh, when I was this." No, listen, the devil never stops with you. He never stops with you. Begin to do stuff. Begin to turn away from the things that you know that work. Have you begun to lose things that you thought you couldn't lose? Reputation, testimony, innocence, and integrity, etc. Some innocence. Do we care about innocence anymore? Integrity. I care about my integrity. One thing I hung my hat on as a Christian when I got saved was, well, now you can take my word for it. Amen? The devil will take that and throw it in the garbage. My testimony, man, how many people have we told about Christ? How many people have we invited to church? How many times? And it just takes us a few minutes of doing something in front of a lot of people that ruin that. I ain't never going up there to that church. I'm not never going up there and doing that if that's the way they're going to be. Now, that ain't all on us, but let me just tell you, it's quick, ain't it? It's quick, ain't it? Man, it's so quiet in here. I'm either preaching real good or something else is happening. I'm gonna err just for my own sake, saying it's on the other side of it, that it's like medicine, it's helping you. Amen? God told me last night when I started praying this message, he goes, just preach to them, because you know what? It's going to be a hard message to hear. Because, you know, like last Sunday, I kept thinking, I'm sitting there going, man, we're having a great worship service. And God said, you know what would be even better? If we get the sin out of the way, you can really worship God when you don't have any sin in the way. You won't have real worship. Wait till sin gets out of the way. So he told me beforehand, so I'm kind of, and I'm in the book of Jeremiah, so you know what? Jeremiah's kind of got me psyched about how to preach anymore, amen? So y'all, when you read Jeremiah, you'll know what I'm talking about. Have you lost your reputation, testimony, innocence, and integrity? Verse 5. Has time not made anything better but worse? Remember when you thought, well, this will pass. This will pass. Just give it a few months, it'll go. Just give it about 5 months, it'll be all right. Give it about 6 months, it'll be okay. Maybe 9 months, maybe a year. After a year, everything's going to start getting better. All we need is a little bit of time and separation from the event. It don't get no better, does it? Matter of fact, it just keeps on devastating. It just keeps on tearing things apart. Man, what you thought was going to get better has gotten worse with everybody. Matter of fact, it didn't just stay in its corner. I love how sin starts. Sin starts in a small room. Sin starts in a small idea. Sin starts when it's just you and you by yourself and you just made one thought or one decision and you looked around and you tried to make sure nobody was there, but they weren't in that back bedroom. They weren't in that car. They weren't with you. You made that decision and you thought it was going to stay right there. Sin never stays where you want it to stay. What sin wants to do is put it out on Main Street. Maybe it has started to harm people you really love. Innocent loved ones badly. Let me read that last one real slow because I was writing so fast. God just said keep writing. Innocent loved ones badly. That's what sin does. You want it, you want to take the full brunt of it. But it ain't the ones it hurts. It's usually the kids. Or it's somebody you love so much and you thought, man, that ain't going to hurt them. It'll hurt me. If it comes back, it'll come back on me. But things start to happen. And you're seeing your family, your loved ones. I don't know who it is for you. Just be honest with yourself. You looked at it and you thought, man, I didn't think it was going to affect them. And it is. And it's affecting them badly. It ain't really hurting you as much right now, but it's hurting them pretty bad. They're disappointed. They're ashamed. They're scared. Choosing sides. Mad, angry, despondent, not knowing how to care about you or the other person. Whew, no, I'm sorry. Verse 7. Now you are at the lowest point and all seems lost. Been there? At your lowest point and all seems lost? I wrote that word in there. God told me to put that word in there very clearly. Seems. Seems lost. Seems lost. Not lost. Seems lost. You're losing stuff. You've got things that you can't change. It's hurting. And you're at your lowest point. Now you're looking at a place where you're like, man, I'm being devastated by this. Can I tell y'all something? At any point in that, you can turn to God. I mean, the very first, when you do the thing, when it starts, listen, you can turn to God anytime you want to. But God will allow you to go all the way to that last place where, guess what? It's hurting you. And you're at your lowest point. You don't seem like you can get out of it. You don't have to get there. God told me to tell you. You don't have to get there. You can come early. Some of y'all are just starting to mess with sin. Some new sin. Something that's bothering you. You're just now starting. And some of these things are starting to happen. I hate to tell you, they're all coming. Turn quickly. That's what God would say. And some of you right now, you're standing, you're looking at the bottom of the mountain, and you think God's way up there, and you're way down here, and you don't know how you can get back. So then God left us a blueprint in the Bible. And it's going to be a laundry list as well. Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to the loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before thee. And against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I want y'all to see this. And those first five verses have so many personal pronouns. It's always me, and it's always I. My sin. Me. I. Listen to this. God told me to tell you this on the very beginning. Own it. Own it. It's not somebody else's fault. It's yours. Own it. Come to God and say, God, here I am. Not for their part, not for this, for you, for what you've done. Own it. Own it. I love what David said in the very beginning. Man, he put it on. It was me. It was who I am. He goes, I was born. He goes, listen, I was born in iniquity. I was manufactured in sin. He goes, I know this ain't from God. I know this ain't somebody else. This is me. See, David was a giant fighter, but he would just happen to be, he got glory for fighting the wrong giant in his life. He fought a 9-foot giant. Some of y'all, you're going to fight 9-foot giants in your life, and people are going to say, man, that's a good woman or that's a good man. He fought, man, he's this. He's a great mechanic. Oh, he's a great worker. He's a great dad. He's very skillful with his hands. He's knowledgeable. He's wisdom. He's a preacher. He's a teacher. He's a singer. She is amazing. She is the Proverbs woman I'm talking about. She's got it all. That Proverbs 31 woman, the one that's got all the answers, cooks the best meals, cleans the best house, keeps up. Man, even when she went to work, she was amazing. Oh, my goodness. She's a leader. She's a trendsetter. It's amazing. But you know what? There's something in there that nobody tells you. You know what? There's a giant that you have to fight. That you don't get open praise for. It takes everything in you to fight. Whew. I hope I'm in the right place this morning. There's battles that you're going to fight that you'll get victory and everybody will say you're great for, but there's some battles that you get whooped a lot and nobody ever sees them. Amen? They're the worst enemy that ever showed up in your life. And you struggle with it, and you wrestle with it. But rarely do we acknowledge it or talk about it. Amen? I've been dealing my whole life with lust. That's my whole life. Started when I was 8 years old, lust. Some of y'all are like, oh gosh, preacher. Well, just hang on, because we're going to put yours up on the board after we get done. I'm just kidding. My whole life. Oh, he's a good athlete. Oh, he went to Marine Corps. Oh, he's anointed. He's a good preacher. But there's a battle that I've got to fight every day. And the devil gets up every day and goes, you don't look? You don't listen? You don't see? You don't hear? Do you? Do you? Do you? You're tired. You're angry. You're mad. You're lonely. You're happy. You're full. You're empty. You want, hey, huh? And ever got to, every day, even in my faith, I've got to get up and say, no, I'll choose God. I'm going to choose God today. I'm going to go after God today. You say, when does that start? About noon? It starts about, 7:15 a.m. When does it stop? 10:30 p.m. night. You say, you're not a great, the reason I share that stuff right there is, you know what? I don't let it build strongholds in my life. I don't come in here and go, man, I'm Superman. I've learned how to be a strong Christian. I'm not a strong Christian. I just know when to run to Jesus. I just know how to tell everybody how to get it whooped. I can't fight by myself. Peyton said something, he don't even remember, a long time ago. He was little. He was probably like 6 years old, maybe five. He was young. We were flipping through the channels. We'd come up on an MMA fight, and we were watching it at the time. But we were watching it, and all of a sudden they just started fighting. And I was like, man. And he was like, man, it's brutal. And we was watching it for a few seconds. And he said, Dad? And I said, yeah. And he goes, you know what I would do? And I went, what? He said, as soon as they blew that whistle, he goes, I'd climb over the gate and take off running. Now, he's braver now. He'd stand there and fight. I know he would. I got to put that part in there. But you know what? That's exactly how you got to fight certain battles with God. You got to come to the ring, and you got to see the enemy, your enemy, and you got to say, hey, Jesus, that thing's whooped me so many times. Do you mind getting in the ring for me? Because I can't get in there. I can't go in there and fight that thing. When you get in there and fight it, I'm going to stay behind you. And I'm going to let you fight the whole battle. I'm not even going to get in the ring. I'm not going to, because if I get in the ring, I know what I'll do. I'll be a weakness for you instead of a strength. Some of y'all need to own it. Stop blaming everybody else. What it was is you got involved in sin, and sin brings forth death. Sometimes you just got to say, it was me. I'm guilty. That's when the healing starts, is when you tell somebody, you know what, it wasn't somebody else. It was me. Verse 5, behold, I was shapen. Verse 6, behold, thou desirest truth on the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with the hyssop, I shall be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Watch this right here. I love what he says. He says, behold, thou desirest. God does not care what you look like on the outside. He does not care how you come to church. He does not care how well you do this. What he wants is in here. God, at the minute you walk in the presence of God, he never looks on the outside. He's listening to the inside of your mind and the inside of your heart. Your soul speaks to God, and you can't hide it. He knows whether you're in sin or he knows when you're innocent. He knows when you're healthy and he knows when you're sick. And that's why it bothers you, because you get in here and you're like, man, that's good. Why is he wearing me out like that? Because God desires. He desires a pure heart. He won't let, if you're saved, he won't let you stay. He won't let you stay in a mess. God, have you ever come to church trying to fake it till you make it? Have you ever come to church and you're like, man, I'll just get in there and act like everybody else. But you know what? God exposes that thing and says, you know what? If you really want to have a good time with me, let's deal with this thing. It'll be ugly, but it'll get better. Amen? Purge me with a hyssop. What is he saying? Listen, he's asking God to do the thing that only God can do. Wash me. Only God can make you clean. You can't do it. Wash me. God, the hyssop means what they would do is they would take the blood and dip a hyssop in it, and it would cover the altar and the sin of the people. It was, they took the offering, dip it in blood, the hyssop, and they covered the offering, which was meant representing clean. Guess what? What you're asking Jesus to do is he's the offering. Take hyssop, the blood, and cover you. Wash me. God, I don't have no answers other than I need you to wash me. Some of y'all need to make a simple, simple plea. Wash me. Make me whiter than snow again. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. But I've let some things get in between you and me, God. Wash me. Wash me clean. Watch this right here. Hide thy face from thy sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Whew. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Remember when everything between you and God was good. Remember when the Spirit of God would speak to you. Remember when it would go breastplate to breastplate to breastplate, but all of a sudden now it's skipping you for some reason. Remember when you had freedom in God. God said, God told, God sent, God, and all of a sudden now it's like you can't find him with a flashlight or a search warrant. God, I can't hear you. What he said, he says, restoring to me the joy of my salvation. I'm saved. Some of y'all this morning, you're squared up. I'm saved. I'm saved. Praise God. I'm glad you're saved. But you got any of that joy of that salvation? Because, man, that's amazing when you have it. Amen? It's amazing when you have it. And when you don't have it, you can't fake it. When you don't have it, you're miserable. When you have it, you got insurance, you got assurance, but you don't have relationship. Have you ever been married to somebody and not have a relationship? Have you ever been mad at your wife for a couple of days? Has your wife ever been mad at you a couple of days? I don't need an answer to that second part. Sorry. In that case, guess what happens? You're in relationship. You're assured that y'all are together. You got a certificate. We got married on this day. Everybody knows you got the rings, you got the bedroom, you got the house. But you're just passing each other because you got something between each other. Amen? And that can go on for days, months, years. And all of a sudden you just, well, why are we even in this if we ain't going to be in a relationship? Amen? You know what it takes? It takes somebody to say, you know what, that was my fault. It takes somebody to say, I forgive you. It takes somebody to say, you know what, I want to smile again. You know what? I want the benefits of being in this relationship. You can't be in a relationship and all be negative. There's got to be some benefits to it. Y'all are so spiritual. Y'all can remember. Okay, when your wife kisses you, holds your hand, tells you you're Superman for taking out the garbage again. Those things, amen. After a while, if you don't have those things, you don't have nothing. Amen? That's what it's like living outside of God's will and in sin. You've got a God. You've got a promise. But you ain't got no relationship. God ain't speaking to you. God ain't blessing you. God ain't using you. That right there, that's when it gets me, okay? He ain't speaking to me. He ain't using me. You know what? God lets me know right away when I'm somewhere I don't need to be because God shuts off the communication level to me. He goes, turns it way down, way down. And I'm looking in His Word and I'm listening to worship and I'm seeking. I'm like, oh, God, you know I've got to preach. You know I've got to teach. You know I've got to. And God's going, yeah, you know I want to see you. You know I want to love on you. You know I want to hear from you. But you've got something. You have messed around and messed up our relationship. Get back to me. I can fix you. I can create in that spirit. That spirit I gave you, I can turn it back on. It's in there. I can turn it back on. I can turn the volume up. Some of y'all need to. Y'all ain't heard from God in so long. I don't even know how you do it as Christians anymore. You just come into church. You ain't heard from Him. Ain't experienced Him. What's this right here? Do good in thy good pleasure. Build the walls of Jerusalem. No, go back up. I was in the wrong spot. For thou desirest a sacrifice. Else would I give it. Thou delightest in burnt offering. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. What did y'all hear that right there? He does not like pride. If you're in a mess with God, you sinned and you've walked away from God, He does not like pride. Look, what He loves is a broken and contrite spirit. When you come to God and say, "Oh God, I'm a mess. Help me." When you're broken over, that's when God starts working. When you're really broken. Not fake broken, not broken for somebody else. I'm talking about broken over your sin. Watch this. "Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifice of righteous, with the burnt offering and the whole burnt offerings. Then shall they offer the bullocks upon the altar." I love this, and this is where I'm going to stop this morning. Watch this right here. There's a place in there where he talks about having broken bones. Some of y'all are wondering this morning, so why does God do this to me when I've messed up? Because He loves you. He loves you. He'll break you down. He'll put you in a brokenness mess you've ever been in. When I got saved, I thought, man, I've got joy, I've got happiness, I've got peace. Man, I'm going to live the best life I got. I didn't realize that I got a Father who will correct me in the worst kind of ways. He will break me down to the point where I can only see Him. Amen? You know what? And then what we want to do, and this is what God was talking about in this last part, is what we want to do is we want to suffice God with what He doesn't want. We want to work our way out of a sinful mess. Anybody in here try to do that? Work our way out? God, I'll read more. I'll attend more. I'll do more. I'll even come to the altar in front of everybody and seek You more. That's not what He wants. He's not satisfied with open offering. He's not satisfied with you coming down here and saying, "God, all right, today, that's it." And then coming down next week and saying, "Day, all right, God, that's it." He would rather you not come at all. Some of y'all are going to be upset with that, and you'll be talking to me after church. So coming to the altar is bad in our church? No, you come when God draws you. But if your heart ain't changing and your actions aren't changing, the altar won't make any difference. You can come to the altar and make a scene before God, or you can come to the altar and let God change, mold, and make you, and to walk out of here and live a different man or a different woman and be different. And you can say, "You know, when I went to that altar, I was up there broken and contrite before God. You know what He did to me? He changed me. He changed me. I don't have to do it." God said, "I would love." You know what David said? David said, "I would love the bulls, the sheep, and the oxen when your heart's right. I would love for you to come and pour out your blessing to me, and I'll pour it back on you, but only when your heart's right." Guys, we're in the midst of 2020. If you don't know this, our country is falling apart. If you don't know, if you don't believe that, we just stick our heads in the sand up here on Flat Top Mountain and just say, "You know what, it's not happening." But our country is falling apart. And Christians are the only line of defense left on the face of this planet. We're the only thing left. We're the only thing that's got any hope to it. But what hope do you have to offer a lost and dying world if you're living in sin right beside them and more miserable than they are? Because you know who God is. You know what God has done. And yet you live in the same mess they're living in. What God told me to tell you this morning today is get back. And this is exactly how you get back. You get broken over your sin. You get a broken and contrite spirit. And you come humbly before God and say, "God, wash me, make me, mold me, and then send me back. Send me back to the calling in my life. Let me be the father, the grandfather, the mother, the grandmother, the leader, the anointed one, the teacher, the singer." In our church. Our church needs. I want revival. I want to have great service when we have been having. But our church needs repentance first. Let's all stand as they come get a song.